from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. Hear the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and in the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord. I had to go to Sulphur Springs this past week. It's a yearly event that I have to go through. I have to go there and bring the numbers from the churches and that I serve, both this church and the Becker Church. Go down there with all my paperwork, all my forms and everything, and I have to, you know, present all that. And you got to go through all kinds of, you go from how many stations? One station to the second station to the third station to a fourth station, then to the administrator and then to the DS. It's like, oh, you know, that can be kind of nerve-wracking to do that, to just sort of go through all that moving from one section to another. Fortunately, Belva and Stephanie put together all that paperwork for me and there were no issues. Oh, it was glorious. No problems. I had all the forms, everything was ready to go, and there's some people there, they're going, "Where's this form?" "I don't know, I don't got it." "What's this number?" "I don't know, let me call somebody," you know. Some people really had a difficult time, but it was pretty easy. But as I was going through that process, moving from one place to another place to another place, I thought to myself, how did I get here? You know, how did I get to this place? Now, not in a bad way. Not like I'm sitting there going, how did I get here? You know, I wish I was someplace else. No, it was kind of like, how did I get here? And I started thinking back on that. And when I graduated from a technical school in Kansas City, I moved to Mesquite in 1984, and I started a career working in the electronics industry. And I worked in that industry for 25 years. That's what I did. I knew the industry well. It's what I did. I didn't have any thoughts of doing anything else. You know, that's just how it was. In 1996, about halfway through that 25-year stretch, me and my wife and my two boys visited First United Methodist Church in Mesquite. I never really went to a church before. I might have been one or two, you know, just visiting, but I never really went to church. So we went there, and we were all baptized. We joined the church, but I didn't think much of it. What I was really thinking about was the new job that I was starting about the same time that I started attending church in Mesquite. I was starting a new job. I've been at many startup companies. Startup companies are, you know, little small companies. They're just starting up. And the ones I've been at really didn't do much. They started up, but then they fizzled out, you know. So I'd be there maybe 2 years. One was even less than 2 years. 3 years at one company, five. I reached five at one company before it crashed and burned. But that's just what I did. All these startup companies, you know, and you just go from one to another. But I started this new job in 1996, and this one actually took off. And it did more than startup. It grew and it became a reasonably good-sized company. And by 2008, I'd been employed at that company for 12 years. I'd moved up the ladder. I was in management. Things were going pretty well. And then out of the blue, in June of 2008, the pastor at First Mesquite called me into her office and she says, "Have you ever considered going into ministry?" And that kind of caught me off guard, you know? And it's not like a light went off, but there was this light, and it just kind of increased in intensity a little bit. And it caught my eye. And it wasn't a blinding light. It wasn't some grand thing. It was just this light increased in intensity a bit, and it caught my eye, caught my attention. And now it's 2017. My career in the electronics industry is a thing of the past. This is what I do now. I'm here. One of the things that the career in electronics taught me was how to multitask. That's what I had to do. I was in project management. Sometimes I was 15 different projects. I didn't know where they were at, what they're doing, who's all doing what. That's what I did. And I was going back and forth like that. So when I'm down there at Sulphur Springs this week, I'm multitasking. As I'm going through this line and they're asking me questions about numbers, I'm thinking to myself, how did I end up here? As I'm answering the question to them, I'm thinking to myself, what did I do to get here? And then on the other side is thinking, well, let's see now, the text from Matthew this week is sort of talking about people who have a career and all of a sudden they're doing something else because Jesus calls them and they just drop what they're doing, you know? So I was thinking about all that this week as I was down there and I was pondering this text and I found it interesting that he's along the Sea of Galilee and he comes to these people who have careers. They're fishermen. That's what they're doing. They're out there fishing. And the first two that he comes across are two brothers. One is Simon and one is Andrew. Simon will eventually become Peter. That's who Peter is. They're out there. They may have just started. They may be in a startup company. It's their startup company. They're out there. They're starting a fishing business, you know, and they're out there fishing. They just started. Jesus comes up to them, and he says, "Follow me." And they drop what they're doing. They leave their nets, and they go with him. Jesus goes on a little bit further. There's two other brothers out there fishing. They're probably in a well-established business, not a startup company, because they're with their dad. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John are in the boat with their father Zebedee. So Zebedee's probably grooming them to take over the family business. He's probably excited about that. Jesus comes along, says, "Follow me." They drop their nets, drop what they're doing, and they leave their dad in the boat, and they're gone. And I think that's just fascinating. And one question that comes to mind is, how could they just leave everything? Did they know who Jesus was? Did they know him? Where they could just leave what they're doing and follow him? To answer that question, I have to go back to the beginning of our text here today. This is sort of in the middle. I'm going to go back to the beginning now, and it says, when Jesus heard that John was arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. I thought that was an interesting little phrase there. He withdrew. Sometimes that sounds kind of like maybe he's fearful of something. He withdraws from the scene because John the Baptist just got arrested. Those in power arrested him. And he withdraws from the scene. And I wonder, is he fearful of something? But he's not fearful of something. He's not cowardly. He's not fearful. He's not doing this out of self-preservation. He doesn't become aggressive and challenge them. He doesn't retaliate. He withdraws to the region of Galilee because Jesus represents an alternate vision to things. He shows us the kingdom and he shows us how this kingdom of God is drawing near. And for the next 4 weeks after today, I'm going to be in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, you talk about something that is an alternate vision of the way things should be. The Sermon on the Mount is it. Love your enemies. you know, turn the other cheek, things like that. We'll be reading about that. That is a different vision of how we are to go about things and how we are to operate. So Jesus withdraws to this region of Galilee, and he makes his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. That's where he is, Zebulun and Naphtali. And as I noted before, when Matthew sees something that connects Jesus back to the Old Testament, he brings it out. He says, look at this. And he does that here today. He says, Matthew writes that this happened so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah, what I read earlier, was fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. So that text from Isaiah that I read earlier and that Matthew quotes here was composed in about 800 BC, 800 years before Jesus was on the scene there. Isaiah writes this text. And from that time of 800 up until the time of Jesus, that land of Zebulun and Naphtali was in utter darkness. There were foreign entities that were occupying that land and oppressing them. Started off with the Assyrians, followed by the Babylonians, followed by the Persians and the Greeks, Seleucids, Ptolemites, and finally the Roman Empire. For 800 years, this land has been in darkness, basically. Some of these empires promised great things. Some of these empires initially shone as a bright light, and they were kind of excited, but those lights faded quickly and turned into utter darkness. So they've been through this cycle year after year for hundreds of years. This land is in darkness. But Jesus now enters this land, and Matthew says a light is now shining in the darkness. And that is true. Jesus is the light, and he is shining into that land now. He's in that land shining. So, going back to the disciples, did they know Jesus or not? I believe that a light had dawned in the disciples well before Jesus met them on the shore. They couldn't identify that light. They probably couldn't articulate that light. Nonetheless, when they met Jesus by the Sea of Galilee, they knew that this light inside of them was before them. It was manifested in front of them in Jesus. So this light they sensed was there, and they saw Jesus, and they followed because they knew this light. They had sensed this light, and now they see Jesus, and they follow. And I think more often than not, I think that's how God operates in our lives. Now, certainly God is free to do what God wants to do, and we see in the New Testament there are some sections where, like the Apostle Paul, road to Damascus, boom, light shone around him, you know, and he's blinded, and that's that. He's a follower of Jesus at that point, you know. So those things happen. But I don't think that's the norm. I don't think that's how it happens for most folks. I know for me, in my life, it hasn't happened that way. It's been this light that just kind of begins to shine, intensifies a bit, draws me forward, and things like that. I have to go back down to Sulphur Springs in another 2 weeks. Seems like I'm there all the time now these days. I have to go back down there. I have to go before DECOM. This is the big one, DECOM. I got to go before that. And one of the questions they ask is, where is God leading you? And I thought, that's an interesting question. I could ask you that question. Where is God leading you? And sometimes that's a difficult one to answer. My answer would be that as I know God is leading me, I know I sense a light, and I'm looking for that, and I'm mindful of it. It hasn't been this bright light that gives me this path that shows me the future. I just know right here and right now God is present, and God is leading me. And wherever I go, he'll be on that path, lighting that path for me and guiding me. And I think that's where most people are. I think most people sense that light in them, and it's guiding them. And upon that. You might not be able to put it into words. You might not be able to articulate that. But I think that's what's going on for most people, is they sense this light in their lives. People today, I think, really are looking for direction. A lot of people are looking for direction. They don't know where to go. Do I go to the left? Do I go to the right? They don't know where to go. And sometimes these big flashes of light come along, and they see this light, and they say, ah, that's it. That's where I got to go. Here's the big flash light. That's where I'm going. But like we read about with the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, sometimes those lights burn bright, and they burn out quickly, and you find yourself in utter darkness again. In this season of Epiphany, I think, once again, we're reminded to follow maybe not this bright flash of light, but this consistent light that we've been given, that is within us, that shines in the darkness. And the darkness can overcome it. That is what we're called to follow. Other lights may be flashing around, trying to distract us. But we have to keep our eye on that light that is within us, and see where that light is leading us, and not get distracted by those other things. This divine light is a gift. It is a gift given to us. It's not something that we create on our own. God's light saves, it illuminates, and it guides us. And when we begin to follow this light, we can help guide others as they seek to follow that light. And sometimes, like I said, people get distracted by other things, other flashing lights, you know, in this world. But I think we can be a guide to them and help them understand that we are to follow this consistent light that is within us. And we are to stay focused on that light. And when we begin to follow this light, that light will intensify at times. And we'll notice that. And it'll lead us in some different directions and things like that. I was listening to an interview this week with David Brooks from the New York Times. He's a columnist there. And he noted that his columns and his writings have moved from more politically oriented writing to more religious writing. He's taken a more religious angle because he senses something. He said in his life, he looks back, and the things that really matter are not political events. It's not inaugurations, and not this or not that. It's not those types of things. What really mattered to him was family, was relationships, were the people around him. And I don't think he's a Christian, but I think he senses a light. I could hear that in his voice when he's talking. He senses something. He can't articulate it, doesn't know what it is, but this light is really the one true light that saves, and it lifts our burdens. And that one true light that saves and lifts our burdens is Jesus Christ. That's what that light is. So I encourage you during the season of Epiphany to not be distracted by the bright lights and the flashes that go on. Those things come and go, and they're there for a season, then gone. I would encourage you to follow that consistent light that is within you, and to seek out that light, and let that light draw you forward. And that light is the light of Jesus Christ, and he will lead you into all glory in the last days. Then we'll be surrounded by the true light of lights. But I encourage you to focus on that light and not get distracted in these times. These are times where you can get easily distracted. Focus in on that light and let Jesus guide your life, and you'll find that it will be a life that is an unexpected type life. You're not sure where you're going. You know it's okay, it's going to be okay, but you're not quite sure where that path is going to lead. But God will guide you, and he will lead you down those paths, and he will be with you during all the times of your life. And you can rely on that light. So in the season of light, whether you realize it or not, Jesus Christ is that light that is there within you, and he is leading you, and he's guiding you. And he's guiding others out there that don't know who Jesus is. And we are called to proclaim and name that light. And that light is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world, and he is guiding. He is guiding us, and he calls us to be a guide for other folks out there. So during this time of Epiphany, embrace that light and see where it is leading you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.